Hello, and thank you for listening to Girl Wonder. My name is Jo Rochelle, and I'm just your everyday girl talking about your favorite webtoons. The theme we're going to explore this week is fate, or destiny, or both. In this episode, we'll discuss our theories when it comes to each character's fate in the latest episodes of the following webtoons: Lore Olympus, Siren's Lament, Let's Play, I Love You, and Edith. In the description box of this podcast, I give you the start times for when I talk about each webtoon, and there is a short musical interlude between each one, so feel free to skip around and listen to the discussions of the webtoons that you love the most. You're currently listening to issue number 37, and don't forget that after issue 40, the weekly Tuesday episodes will be a little bit different. They're no longer going to be discussions of 4 to 6 webtoons at a time. For the most part, they will be standalone episodes discussing one webtoon at a time, but you will still be able to get some discussions of the latest webtoons in little mini podcast episodes on Twitter and Instagram. And I do have to take a hiatus after issue 40 comes out because I am filming my first feature film, and I'm really excited about it, and I'll be back in November with new episodes. But that's all after issue 40, and I will continue to remind you, so don't worry. And before we start, our top cities that have listened to this podcast the most in the last 7 days are Plano, Texas, West Palm Beach, Florida, Dallas, Texas, Camden, New Jersey, Humboldt, California, and Los Angeles, California. Thank you guys so much for listening. All right, let's get into it. Lore Olympus, episode 75. So it's hard to talk about destiny without talking about fate, and vice versa. So I found this article in the Huffington Post from 2016 called "Your Destiny is Determined by Your Decisions." In it, the author Natasha Quaffman says, "Fate is what puts opportunities in front of us, but our destiny is ultimately determined by our decisions. For instance, if you go to a party and meet the perfect guy, that was fate. But what you do about it is your destiny." So let's keep these definitions of fate and destiny in mind while we talk about the latest episode of Lore Olympus, which is called Fate. So, what is the fate of Persephone and Hades? If you know Greek mythology at all, we know that it's their fate, it's their destiny to be together, whether it's 6 months out of the year or not, like, you know, the old folklore says, but that's their fate. They're going to be together. And a lot of us know the story of Persephone and Hades, at least roughly, but here we are, waiting with bated breath every week for a new update. And even though we know how it will probably end, we want to see the execution of how we get there. Like, we want to see this particular version of Persephone and Hades make certain choices to end up at their destiny. So then what actions do they take? Well, starting with Persephone, she's trying to figure out how to get out of the goddesses of eternal maidenhood, but she doesn't want to lose her scholarship or have to stop going to school. But maybe she can pay back the scholarship with the money she receives from her internship with Hades. And what Persephone wants more than anything is freedom and independence. I think the action of leaving the goddesses of eternal maidenhood is definitely an example of Persephone choosing her destiny, and that step will get her closer to Hades. I mean, it's a vow of celibacy. It's a vow of not being with anyone, but we know deep down that she wants to be with Hades and is going to be with Hades. And speaking of that internship, I loved that brief moment of, like, yesterday, a little flashback moment where Hades was talking to Hecate and he really believes in paying interns, specifically Persephone. And I love that. I want to hug him for that. When I first moved to Los Angeles, trying to break into the entertainment industry is very, very tough. And I had a hard time. I did an unpaid internship because they promised me I would have an assistant position after a month. And it didn't happen. I just did a month of free work, and then they hired someone who was already connected to the company, who they'd already known before. So it's rough out here, and I do believe in the power of paying your interns. People who are doing full-time work should be getting full-time money. And Hades has his own phrase. He says, Well, she's a beautiful lady who needs money to do beautiful lady things, which is where we get the title of this podcast episode. I think he's a little biased because it's Persephone, but I just like the idea of him wanting to pay his interns for the work that they do. So, still staying on Hades, he also sets himself on a path towards his destiny with Persephone. He goes to the Fates, the three sisters, to retrieve that memory of when he first met Persephone, when he was super drunk and he just can't really remember it at all. And even though he would typically need Persephone's permission and consent to view this memory, since she's a part of it too, the Fates decide to help him anyway because of fate. When he leaves, they look at the screen, you know, the tapes that they have the memories on, and this is the future. It is Queen Persephone, Queen of the Underworld. She looks very regal, a little scary. She's wearing all black. I don't think Persephone's one to usually wear dark colors. Think about how she dresses now. She's constantly wearing white. And her eyes are red, which I saw a lot of people on various different forums talking about how those are the eyes that she has when she's really upset. And we just have to see, because now we have a picture of what the future is going to look like. And they did say it is natural for a king to be curious about his future queen. So yeah, it's not a secret. Rachel is not treating it like it's a secret that Hades and Persephone end up together, but we're all waiting to see how does it all come together. So what is getting in the way of their destiny? What obstacles do Persephone and Hades have to face? I think the first thing that comes to my mind is Minthe. And that's just because Hades has a girlfriend right now and they are in a public relationship. So that's an obstacle that has to be resolved before we get to that vision of the future queen, I think. And then another one would maybe be Hades' self-esteem issues. You know, even just last episode when Persephone called him and she just wanted to see if he was doing well, he couldn't believe that someone would treat him that kindly. And I think that's something that he would need to work on a little bit before they become an official item and are married forever and rule the underworld. I can't think of any other obstacles except for maybe Apollo, but there's been some good closure, not complete closure, because we haven't had a confrontation with Apollo. We haven't seen him in many episodes, but there was like some sort of resolution in finding and seeing Persephone tell Eros what was going on and to get compassion as a response to that. That really helped with that storyline smooth it out a bit, that Apollo doesn't feel like a major obstacle getting in the way of Hades and Persephone right now. But the main things that come to mind are Minthe and his self-esteem issues. And, you know, Persephone's still growing up a little bit and coming into her own and who she is. So Kitschy Star commented on this webtoon and said, "I love that the Fates call Hades young blood. I know they are far older than even some of the gods. I just adore the idea of ancient, wise beings dressed in 1980s fashion." I agree with this. I told you guys a few weeks ago that I watched Disney's Hercules, the musical, the cartoon musical, and the Fates are they're like ugly old hags. they're not cute. And these Fates were so cute, and I really enjoyed their style and their different personalities and how one was just really rooting for Persephone to be queen, and she wants to help Hades with that memory. I, for one, am still very curious about that first encounter with each other, because we always thought it was at the party that opens up, you know, Lore Olympus, chapter one. But now we know there's a little bit more before that, so I can't wait to find out more, hopefully in the next episode of Lore Olympus. Siren's Lament, episode 151. You know what? It's kind of perfect that we're talking about destiny and fate when it comes to this episode of Siren's Lament. Because if we go back in time for a quick second, when we first met Peel, She was a very scared siren. She didn't even know her own name. It was just Tua who decided to call her Peel. And she wasn't really into sticking around with other sirens because that's just not what sirens did. And in episode 36, Peel mentions that a soothsayer gave her a prophecy and it was not a positive one. And I'm sure this stood out for a lot of us when we were first reading Siren's Lament. I know it stood out to me because I wanted to see if it would come true or not. And so her prophecy was this. He predicted that she would become a human again, but during her time as a siren, something grave will happen. And because of that, she will eventually be filled with spite and wickedness, even in her human life. So now, let's return to where we are with Peel right now in episode 151 of Siren's Lament. The soothsayer predicted that she would become human again, and yep, she's human, but she also has a knife, and she's pointing it at Sean, and she's calling him a murderer, and it looks like she intends to kill him or hurt him very seriously. But, you know, thinking about this entire prophecy, I don't think that Peel has been filled with wickedness and spite this entire time. I think she's had some deep, strong moments of revenge that kind of flare up. But she's also had some good, genuine moments with River. And I see that she's devastated by what happened or what she believes happened to Tua. But I wouldn't say that the prophecy has come all the way true because let's talk about it some more. You know, she finds out that Frey, who was tied up on this boat, the Siren Hunter, is the real one who was torturing Tua and is, you know, responsible. She turns the knife on him. But when she looks at his face and it reminds her of River, who happens to be his brother, well, she doesn't know that, but she hesitates. She stops, actually. And I do think she intended to kill him. She was in the middle of saying something along the lines of, I want my face to be the last thing you see before you before you die, I assume. But you know what? Peel did not do it. She didn't do it. And that makes me think that the prophecy never was true for her. She was never going to murder anyone or just be filled with complete spite and wickedness. And let's say Tua, what if he really was gone? What if he really was dead? She still would have hesitated. She still wouldn't have murdered anyone on that boat. And that's a good thing. Like, she has broken whatever path she was on. She stepped off of it. And I really like that in this chapter. So we end with Peel hearing Ian say that Tua is still alive. And the look on Peel's face, you guys, I love it. I literally cannot wait for the next chapter because I really hope they reunite. I'm just so excited because we've been waiting for them to reunite. Peel has been living out her destiny, but also changing the course of her destiny, I think. And so I just can't wait. So Cup of Tea commented on this webtoon. And they said, I love the raw emotion the author put into this chapter. You can see how heartbroken Peel is, wanting revenge for the loss of her lover, yet she hesitates to kill him. Not just because the dude looks like River, but some part of her tells her that it's not right to kill, like she believes Tua was killed, is repeating the cycle. And she hesitates because there is still some sane part of her left. I 100% agree with that. I think that she is choosing her own fate. And it's like, it's unwritten, even though she had a prophecy and bad things happened, like it said it would. She didn't really lose who she was in the process. And I love that about her. So now I'm just ready for a reunion, hopefully, between Tua and Peel in the next update of Siren's Lament. Let's play episode 79. So you know how under the main title of Let's Play, on each episode, there's some text that says one player and two players. And one player is the one that's selected. It's the one that's always been selected since the start of this webtoon. And I've seen a lot of theories all over the place where people think that two players will be selected eventually, and that will be when Sam has chosen someone to be with. So she's like living her life as a couple now. And I love that theory. And if that's true, if she's fated to be with someone, then we can analyze her actions from episode to episode to, you know, theorize who is that person. Who is the second player in Sam's life? There are a lot of options, and I am never sure. I think out of all of the webtoons, possibly this is the one where I'm the least sure about who she's going to end up with, because I just find myself jumping from ship to ship. I'm a huge ship jumper in this one. I have shipped her with Link. I have shipped her with Charles. I've shipped her with Marshall on and off again. So I need to work on that part of myself because I'm not loyal. But at the same time, I want Sam to be with someone who makes her happy. So let's talk about her actions in this episode, because I do think it's her fate. It's her destiny to be with somebody at the end of this webtoon, or else there wouldn't be a second player option. So when we left off, Sam was in the hospital room with Marshall, and he told her that Ruminate was so good he couldn't put it down, which I'm sure made her so happy. Remember her face when Charles told her that he had played Ruminate all night long and that made him a little cranky? She's just keeping men up all night playing her game because she's that talented. But anyway, she wants Marshall to rest. You know, they don't have to talk about Ruminate right now. And then she asks if there's anything she can get for him. And he says, Monica. Finally, someone at this hospital remembers Monica and the fact that she would want to know that her boyfriend is, you know, being hospitalized. So it's good that Marshall mentioned it. And Sam had the perfect reaction of just terror and shock because she totally forgot. And to be honest, if there wasn't like a big audience reading this webtoon where you can read comments and people are like, what about Monica? Is anyone going to tell Monica? If that didn't exist, I don't know if I would have remembered that Monica hadn't been called. So can we blame Sam that much? I remember last week when Josh was on the podcast with me, he was like, oh yeah, well yeah, Monica. So we can't blame Sam 100% because we're all human and we all make mistakes, but she totally forgot about it. And so hopefully we find out what happens with that next week. And let's talk about Charles a little bit, since he's one of the eligible bachelors, more or less, for Sam's heart. And he and Sam have cute moments together. So let's talk about his actions and see whether he might be player two in Sam's life. So one thing I think about Charles when I think about his destiny and his fate is his past. You remember, he had that wedding ring, or what looked like a wedding ring, that he used to wear that he now just keeps in his pocket, and his hearts are frozen whenever they're referred to. And it's like he needs someone to thaw him out because he's frozen on love. I think he had a true love, or what felt like a true love, and that person broke his heart. I mean, we all suspect that that person cheated on him and he walked in and saw it, which is terrible. So Charles's marriage that didn't work out is something I think he's feels like he doesn't want to repeat ever again, which stops him from being 100% vulnerable in relationships. And if he does start to be vulnerable again and chooses like a relationship with Sam, is it possible for his fate to like repeat itself? Like what happened before? Is he so worried about it happening again? Is that his destiny to have it repeat over and over? I'm not sure. But who we see him with in this episode is primarily Marshall's sister, Eva, who was jealous of Miss Rosewood, Charles's other hookup partner. And Charles says something to her that stood out to me, which was, but unlike you, she doesn't break the one rule. She never gets attached. He's talking about Miss Rosewood. And I do agree, from what we've seen with him and Miss Rosewood's relationship, it's kind of cold. They're not warm and romantic with each other at all. It seems like it's purely physical, and he wants to have the same thing with Eva, or maybe those are just his rules when he is with somebody, and she has broken that rule. She wants more than just the physical with him. She also likes him, right? So Charles also said to Eva in this episode that he thinks it's a shame that their relationship had to come to an end. And that really stood out to me, because who ended it? It feels like it must have been Charles. But then, so did Charles see that she was catching real feelings for him and he ended it? If so, I do feel kind of bad for her. That's only because it is incredibly difficult to ask someone to not get feelings when you're doing things that are so physical and then to just end it when they do. I mean, he's been clear, but it's still, she's a human being, not a robot. So if you are doing intimate things, it's crazy to assume that no one will ever catch feelings at any point, right? So he doesn't seem like he's being mean about it. I just feel like I feel bad for Eva because those things can be connected for people, you know, and she does seem to have real feelings. She was blushing most of this chapter when talking to Charles. And so I don't want him to just tease her because he like is like, oh, it's such a shame things had to end between us. That's only if he's the one who ended it. I assume he did because Eva's the one who keeps texting him being like, let's hook up. And that's what we saw in the first season of the webtoon. So if she ended it and she's still reaching out all the time, then that's weird too. So I just need more information. Those are my general thoughts on Charles right now. And I have no idea who Sam is fated to be with. I have no idea. But KMFW commented on this webtoon and said, I really like how all the male characters don't just have a thing for Sam. They all have backstories, love lives, and are just people. I feel like Sam needs to find out who she is outside of needing a relationship, and if she ends up with someone, then perfect. But her value is so much more than just that, and her need for confidence is so great. Watching her grow into an independent person is so rewarding, and I appreciate the writer so much for making such multi-dimensional characters. I agree with that so much. I do think that it's amazing and wonderful that we can just theorize so much about all the backstories that have made the male characters in this webtoon who they are. And at the same time, yeah, I am not sure Sam is ready for a relationship right now, only because of that confidence level. I feel the same way about Hades, even though he is in a relationship, but it's not like it's a great relationship. I just worry when the confidence level is so low, even if they were with partners who want to lift their self-esteem, sometimes another person cannot do that for you. You need to find some kind of way to do it with yourself. Like, that's what therapy is for, right? Because another person in a relationship, it's not really their responsibility to make you happy at all times. It's something I've learned. You can't look at someone and your happiness depends on them. That's too much pressure for any human to bear. So I agree with this comment. I love watching her grow in her independence. And we're just gonna have to wait and see who player two is, or if that option ever gets selected at the beginning of Let's Play. I Love You, episode 92. So when it comes to talking about fate and destiny in I Love You, the first thing I thought about was a drawing that Quim Chi did of our three main characters almost 2 years ago. It had Shinhae in the center, looking at Kosuke and holding his hand while sharing earphones with Yeonggi, and the earphones are red, it's a red cord. And this is an image from 2017. And you scroll down on Quim Chi's Instagram, you will be able to find it and see it. And the red earphones, I have not been able to let go of that visual of one earphone in Shinhae's ear and the other in Yeonggi's ear. Have you guys ever heard of the red thread of fate? There's an article on theodysseyonline.com called Cross-Cultural Symbols, Red Thread of Fate. And it says the origins of the red thread are traced back into other East Asian cultures as well, not limited to Japan, but stretches to China and Korea as well. Believed to have started in Chinese folklore where the red thread was used to tie marriage partners around the ankle. Very interesting. And then there's an ancient Chinese proverb that says this: an invisible red thread connects those who are destined to meet, regardless of time, place, and circumstance. The thread may stretch or tangle, but it will never break. So that has probably been why I've been on the Yeonggi and Shinhae ship for a while, even though I 100% respect and appreciate the other ships, I did jump onto Dieter's ship for a second. Like I said, if the main character is blushing with a guy and that guy is a good person, I will jump on that ship. There are times when I shipped her with Kosuke, but most of the time I do ship her with Yonggi. So are they destined to be together? Was that on purpose? Were the earphones an updated version of the red thread that, you know, has soulmates attached to each other? A thread that stretches and tangles but never breaks? Is that where we're heading? I don't know, but that'd be pretty cool with me. That's all I'm going to say about that. So let's analyze Shinee's actions in this episode. She asks Kosuke's assistant, Jace, more about his past and more about how long he's been working for the company. She wants to know what Kosuke was like. And that's something we need to keep in mind, is that Shinee is always interested and pretty curious about Kosuke and his past. She wants to know. And even Jace was like, why? Do you have a crush on him? And she says no really loudly, but I think it's a possibility because Shinee, you were asking, like, what was he like? Did he have friends? He really intrigues her. That's what we can take from this, is that Kosuke really intrigues Shinee. And Jace answers her question. We get a flashback to when he first met his boss. And the first thing Kosuke said was, ew, in regards to Jace's hair, the poor thing. He's still salty about it. It's been 10 years or so, and he's still salty. It's so sad. And now we have to talk about Kosuke's actions in this episode. One thing he did was he called Yujing and asked her to meet up. Remember we called her the Velma cosplayer last week? Well, she wears different outfits in this episode, so that's not her name anymore. But she meets up with him, and she even says something that I found really interesting. She says, "You didn't think I'd show because of how terrible things left off in the past?" Yes, Kimchi keeps hinting at some terrible past event with Kosuke and his former friends, his former college friends, the group he used to hang out with that he doesn't hang out with anymore. I mean, it's implied heavily that he kicked his friends to the curb. And Kosuke really wants to know what Yujing said to Shinee at the restaurant. Like, he really wants to know every single detail. He low-key threatens to sue Yujing. He says, you need to be careful about what you spread around. You could get yourself sued. So it's just, he's almost like he's very motivated. And I've never seen Kosuke like this in the webtoon. We've seen him be stern. We've seen him be stoic. But he's a little bit more aggressive and desperate feeling here. Like that he cannot let Shin-A know what happened in the past. And I have no theories yet. I need to just soak this in, but he even gets a little physical with, like, grabbing for her phone, and Yujing slaps his hand away. And what is he so afraid of Shin-A finding out? That is the main question here. I really want to know. So Jose Liz commented on this webtoon with a little theory that I wanted to share. They said, just guessing, Kosuke maybe didn't do something we would consider terrible, but something he is ashamed of, like blindly falling in love or something like that. I think it's going to be something unexpected. It could definitely be a past relationship that he doesn't want anyone, especially Shin-A, to find out about. And a part of me is wondering if he's so worried about Shin-A finding out, what if it has something to do with her family? Or it's connected to her somehow, something that happened in the past that Kosuke's involved with. So I just have to think about it a little bit more. But I'm really, really excited for the next update of I Love You. Edith, episode 33. So out of all of the webtoons we've discussed today and all of the characters in those webtoons, I feel like Edith is the only one who really has a destiny that's yet to be written. Like, there's no looming fate over her life. It doesn't feel like there's a certain destiny that has to come true. It's like it's free. Edith can be who she wants to be. And so let's just talk about her actions and what's happening in her life. So Chris wants Edith and Jack to model for his company, Town. And Jack is tall, you guys. I was surprised with how tall he is. He's over 6 feet. And how tall is Philip, by the way? I want to see them stand next to each other again. I know they had a very brief encounter in a previous episode where, you know, Jack's heard of who Philip Baker is for the first time. I want to see them stand right next to each other, shoulder to shoulder, because I just want to know the height difference. That's just something I personally want to see. But yeah, so Chris calls Edith pretty in this episode. I know he's trying to flatter her because he wants her to be a model, but at the very thought of her being a model, he must think that she's pretty for real. And that makes her so happy. Like, she lights up and is so cute. And even in the episode before this, I feel like Edith is so playful with Chris, who is her friend. And she just, there's this part of her that's so playful and so fun when she's with her friends. And we get the reverse of that by the end of the episode when she's all alone. But yeah, Chris, Edith, and Jack have a good time together. I like that group. I'm surprised, but I do like that group. And then Edith gets a missed call and a very ominous text message from her editor. And it says, "I have a bit of bad news. Call me when you're available." No creative person wants to see a text message like that. You do not want the person who's responsible for editing, publishing, or releasing your work to say, "I have a bit of bad news, call me when you're available." I almost feel bad that there was a text. It should have just said, "Call me when you're available," so she wouldn't know and have that sinking feeling of dread for so long before calling her editor back. But at least, you know, her editor is being upfront with her. So in the meantime, Philip is out with his friends. He's going clubbing. And I mean, that's how we met him, right? We met Philip at a bar. So one friend wants to name Philip's car Stephanie, but Philip says, "I'd rather not associate my ex with this beauty." So Philip has an ex-girlfriend named Stephanie, and are we going to meet her? I don't remember if he's mentioned this before. So I was like, oh, Stephanie, is that, has a new character just emerged into Edith's world? Because if there is an ex named Stephanie and she pops back up again, of course Edith is going to run into her because she is basically next door neighbors with Philip. So don't forget that Philip has celebrity status, so he's able to get his friends into the club no problem. But though he went as a group, Philip also spends so much time alone in this episode. It's like a beautiful parallel to what's happening with Edith, where Edith is with her group and she's happy and she's having fun and she's making jokes, but then she's ultimately alone. Something comes and crushes her. And in this situation, it's a lot different because Philip, you know, he doesn't make a huge effort to spend time with his friends. When they go off, he just sits by himself alone on that rooftop, kind of all dramatic and lonely. And I feel like that's just a part of his personality. The final thought of this episode is, if I had a job that was my dream, would I stop feeling so lost? And it shows Edith, who does have a dream job, a wonderful job where she can write and people can interact with her writing. And she's so sad. She's just so devastated and alone. And so it's just, it's a fun parallel because Philip is famous. He's got tons of followers, tons of likes, but he's not happy. And Edith isn't super famous and she doesn't have as much success as him necessarily, but she's living her dream and she's not that happy either right now. So Tay Weeks commented on this webtoon and said, "I think Philip's dialogue with Edith's picture shows that no matter what we choose to do with our lives, follow our dreams, or stick with whatever job we find, there will always be a time when we feel lost. But those times make the good times so much more special. When you feel complete, you stop trying to better your life. Always keep trying and have confidence that you will get where you want." I love this comment. It is so encouraging. I needed to read this comment. It made my day. And so I agree that there are times when you are pursuing a dream that are terrible. And then there are times that are really great that make it all worth it. And right now we're just in one of those terrible times, the ups and downs of having a job. And there's also a pressure for Philip to feel fulfilled, but he just doesn't feel fulfilled right now. So yes, Edith is full of this wonderful, nuanced look at adulthood and independence and finding a career and finding someone to be with. It's so realistic, and I am really excited. I'm ready for Edith and Philip to run into each other again soon and see what that's like, because they have not really talked since the incident where he left her in the hotel room by herself. He's seen her since, but I don't think she's seen him. So I really can't wait for the next update of Edith. And now I'd like to move on to our listener response segment. Last week, I asked, which webtoon have you reread the most? And I got a lot of responses on Instagram, either through DMs or just on a post that I posted the question on. And here are a few of those responses. Ashton Smith 026 on Instagram said, my most reread webtoons would be a three-way tie between Nothing Special, Let's Play, and Lore Olympus. And Angeliner Bengton said, I reread Let's Play over and over. It's one of those stories where literally anything could happen. I have no idea what Sam is going to go through next, and I think that's great storytelling skill. I love rereading Refund High School too. It's just so stinking cute, and the ending still doesn't make sense to me. We should discuss it on the podcast. I need to reread Refund High School as well and make it all the way to the end, because I was definitely reading it and I do want to catch up. It's still on my subscribed list and I need to just finish the whole webtoon. So I would love to talk about it on the podcast, but I have to catch up first. Bree Monster commented and said, Winter Woods was so good. Loved that story. I am not really one to reread things so soon. I like to wait a while. But I reread Lore Olympus and I Love You just one other time. I am someone who also waits a little bit before I reread something, just so that it feels a little newer and a little fresher by the time I come back to it. Mariana Vrano commented and said, freaking romance. I reread it so much while the creator was on hiatus, LMAO. And then Katie Yum said, Lore Olympus because it's the only one I have reread since I'm constantly reading new webtoons. Also, Aception because I'm from its Discover Squad. So I need to catch up on a lot of webtoons. So many of you had so many great responses, and it reminded me of all the webtoons that I have started reading or need to start reading. So I want to get on that, especially even though I'll be on hiatus, I think I'll still be reading webtoons. So that'll give me some time to catch up. We are reaching the end of the podcast now, where I pose a question of the week to you. And my question this week is, what Canvas / Discover webtoon do you think needs to be featured ASAP? What webtoon do you feel like would just do so well as a featured webtoon and you just can't wait to say, hey, I was from the Discover Squad when it does show up? Please let me know. You can reach out on Twitter, Instagram, you can email. All of those links are in the description box of this podcast episode. So please let me know. What Canvas or Discover webtoon are you just so excited to see get featured next? Wow, you made it to the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for listening to Girl Wonder. We currently have no sponsors, so here is a joke instead. What do baby kangaroos wear when it's cold out? Jumpsuits. Thank you again for listening. New episodes of Girl Wonder are uploaded on Tuesdays. I'm Jo Rochelle, and we'll talk again next week. Bye!